Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bada, bada boom, sold.
Huh?
Just sold my car on Carvana. Dropping it off and getting paid today.
Already?
What, you still haven't sold yours? You told me about it months ago. Is the offer good?
Oh, the offer's great.
Don't have another car yet?
I could trade it in for this car I love.
Come on, what are we waiting for?
Ah, you're right.
Let's go.
Whether you're looking to sell your car right now or just whenever feels right, go to Carvana.com and sell your car the convenient way. Terms and conditions apply.
And we are back again in another week here, the Expressway with the BT Express and Charles Show Me the Way. We are here talking to you everything about sports and the world of sports, as well as New York and Jets football and Giants football, as well as basketball, as well as a lot of the top stories in the sports today. Obviously, a lot going on with the Giants getting ready for the draft, but we got some great stuff ahead for you. We're going to talk about some of the free agent signings. We're going to talk about the latest free agent wide receiver pickup that the Giants, and how it impacts Daniel Jones and if he can be the guy that takes Giants to another Super Bowl victory. But first, we talk about this every week, BT. When is the Aaron Rodgers situation going to be settled?
Well, see, the thing that I get is that the longer that Green Bay waits, the less cap salary cap hit that they take. And the next bigger one, I think, is June, April, May, June. And see, the only thing about that is the Jets don't get a chance to try them out, to work with the receivers, to get settled in, because, you know, you go to a new team or a new place, there's a whole new game. I mean, you got to get a place to live. You got to learn where to shop. And he's a bachelor, so he's got to do a lot of stuff. But I still think it's going to come, and I still think that they're waiting to see if the Jets are going to give in to two number ones. But, you know, the reason I don't think the Jets will, because they have a lot of depth on their team. They got a lot of young guys. They don't want to give up a lot of stuff. And it's just a matter of finding a place for the Aaron Rodgers to come to where he can be successful. So I still have optimism. It's just that I thought maybe he might be there to get in some of the mini camps, because mini camps is when you learn the offense and defense and get acclimated with your team. So I still think there's a chance, though, CW.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the deadline, or the unofficial deadline, is the draft, because if you're Green Bay knowing that Aaron Rodgers isn't coming back and you've already moved on and you don't want to wait another year to potentially not help your team get better, I think right now, I think the ball is in Green Bay's court, because the Jets really don't have to do anything, right? If the Green Bay Packers want to make this deal with for Aaron Rodgers, it would behoove them to do something prior to the draft so that they can address any of the other issues that they may have or weaknesses of their team while they have another team on the other end with a high draft pick that could help address some of those issues. So really,
and the reason I agree with you is because if something happens and the Aaron Rodgers situation gets tied up, then they would have lost out on any of those young quarterbacks that are out there, because you're sitting there waiting for them, and the draft is in a few weeks. And I think that they need to know probably within a couple of weeks if he's coming. But he sounds like he did, because he's coming, because he talked about he would love to play for the Jets. There's no other team involved except Green Bay. So it's center in a sense. And I was watching the last game that Green Bay played against, I think it was Detroit, they lost to. Aaron Rodgers walked off the field arm in arm with one of his receivers, and it almost seemed like a goodbye thing. And I'm not saying it was, but it just said, and then all of a sudden, he says, when the Jets flew him out, the owner flew out to California to meet with him, brought everybody, and probably offered him the world. And so he's got to make a decision pretty soon. It's just that I think the Jets would be Super Bowl contenders if Aaron Rodgers came to their team.
Oh, immediately, as well as if they were able to sign Odell Beckham right after that. Obviously, we talked about it last week that I believe that the best New York team for Odell is probably the Jets. He is a little bit more mature. He got a young locker room. He could probably instill some of that veteran wisdom on those guys, especially growing. I mean, being the man in New York City, what better person to kind of take those young guys underneath his wing and kind of show them the ins and outs and the mistakes that he made, you know, playing in a big market like the New York market.
I think that the Jets got outstanding potential. They got youth and experience on both sides of the ball. And I think it's just a matter of almost one person and then a couple of the draft picks to bring them along to make them one of the top 10 teams in the NFL. My problem with Odell is that he had major surgery, ligament damage on both knees. Now, I know, and I've seen over the years, that it's not as bad as it used to. It used to be possible career-ending injury was all the ligaments torn up. But I've seen everybody come back from it very quickly. And he's got a good work ethic. He seems like he's close to 100%. But from a receiver standpoint, I think you have to lose a little bit having two major surgeries on the same knee.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think that because of the great skill athletes that the Jets have at the receiver position, I don't think he has to come in to be the man. Yep. I think if he's healthy, he can only improve on what they have. He has another target, especially one of those quality possession type receivers that can get open in the small areas. He's like that dump off quick guy. He can always take off the top, but you don't know if his speed is the same based on the injuries, but his quickness, you don't diminish quickness, right? He can always be quick. I just think the speed that he may have may not be the same because of the knee injuries, but I think the possession, his ability to possess the ball and to beat guys in traffic is amazing. And I think that's the added dimension that he would bring to the Jets. I wouldn't say he's the man because I love the Jets receiver core. I just think he adds another dimension to that team that would actually put them in a realm of at least championship, if not Super Bowl contender.
Well, see, the thing that gives me optimism about it is that I think it was my fifth year in the NFL. I played out there with the LA Raiders. And they were known for having some old guy named Fred Biletnikoff.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
And he wasn't there when I was there. I'm a little younger than him. But he was one of the slowest guys in the whole NFL. But the thing about it, he knew where he was going. And as a wide receiver, you talked about you don't lose that quickness. He had outstanding quickness. He might have ran and I'm not even exaggerating, he might have ran a 5.240. And I don't think any receiver in the history of the NFL has run a 5.240. So he'd run an out route, and he'd go in and then stay in, get back up, and then take the out. And it was just so fun to watch. And the brother that Fred Biletnikoff taught, his name was Morris Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. And he was slow as heck. One of the slowest African-American men I've ever seen play the position of wide receiver. I mean, right. I'm telling you the truth because he get caught by anybody. The defensive line would get down there and catch him, the linebackers. But he ran the routes. Right. And see, that's what makes me mad when I see like a guy like Kenny Golladay, that he didn't learn how to run that route. See, if I was Kenny Golladay, I would watch film on some of the great route runners in the history of the game. And Odell runs a good route. You don't know exactly where he's going. The only thing I'm waiting to hear is that if the Jets have their number one receiver shows out, does Odell stay with his teammanship and congratulating them and still help them? Mm-hmm. Because before, I don't think he would have done that. because he came to the Rams late and he was humbled. And I think now, you know, it's really up to him to show his maturity to the Jets and see if he can, because the art of running the route, Charles Way, is one of the prettiest things in football. Yeah. And I have loved it for so long. And that's why me as a running back, I love to catch the ball out of the backfield. Love it, man.
That's right. Now, turning our attention to the Giants, I mean, Saquon still doesn't have a deal. I don't think any team is going to present an offer and give up draft picks for someone like that. We've talked about it for weeks now that the running back position isn't a high priority on a lot of teams' lists. And so by France, the Giants were genius in just giving, you know, franchise tagging him so that at least he can go out and search out what his value is. If he doesn't get it, he's playing under a $13 million franchise, or they can work out a long-term deal. I think it benefits the Giants because, A, even though he's a running back, he hasn't been healthy every year for the past 3 years. And so you don't want to spend sign him to a 4 or 5 year contract and he only gives you 6 or 8 games a season.
Well, maybe they can get a contract for Saquon Barkley where it has incentive clause in there that if he plays so many games, X amount of dollars, $1,000, you know, just like do incentive clause. You get 1,000 yards rushing, he had 1,300 this year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He runs a better route than he used to, because when I watched him his first couple of years, he didn't run a good route. He just kind of ran out to the flat. But you got to put pressure on a linebacker, make him think you're going deep, and then cut it out or in. I just think that last year was a great year for Saquon Barkley, and he deserves whatever he can get. I'm for the running back so much because I think what they do for a team is incredible. So Saquon, they're talking about they're looking for a backup to him. But if he can, you know, be healthy in the season, he's as good as anybody because he's improved on his blocking. He's improved on his route running. And you can tell he works at his craft. And that's what I like.
Yeah, and I'm hoping they get a long-term deal done. I think he's proven himself to be a Giant for life, and hopefully they can get something done along the lines where both parties are happy. He's happy with what he's getting. But like I said, if I'm a running back in today's market, and the way running backs don't last 7, 8, 10 years anymore, they probably stay around 6 or 7 years. Look at those two kids from Cleveland. Right. The one guy became a free agent and hasn't been picked up yet. And he was a beast as a running back.
Yep.
But no one's picking him up. And so the running back position now, if you're not the total package, if you can't run routes and be that fourth or fifth receiver, I think your stance or your ranking in that offensive hierarchy is diminished. We're almost down there with the tight ends.
Yep.
and they may be now, because of the way the offenses are, they may even be ahead of the running back based on what their ability to run routes and the block and everything else. So I think that in this day and age, if you're a running back, if your name or you don't have the same potential as a McCaffrey in San Francisco, I don't think that you can command the amount of money that you can command. And even McCaffrey only signed a $14, $15 million deal. He didn't sign a $20 million deal because he's been hurt every year.
Yeah. Well, see, I think the Giants have improved everything in their whole offense and defense. And that only can be plus for Saquon Barkley, because I'm looking for even a better offensive line this week. And I'm looking for the Giants to be able to cater to it. And I believe that if they get a guard, and we talked about it last week, a guard that can solidify the offensive line, it's going to make his life a little easier. And that's the part that I like. You listen to The Expressway with Billy Taylor and Charles Wade, and we're on each and every week. And we try to go around the world of sports. Our first quarter, we always talk about the Giants and the Jets. Our second quarter, we're talking about the free agent signing. We got a good third quarter. We're going to talk about trash talking and some of the stuff that happened in the LSU game, and Patrick Beverley, who played with the LA Lakers, and how he's got traded about 20 times, and he talked more trash than one of them radio stations. So that's going to be fun for us to deal with that. And then the fourth quarter, we're going NBA action as we come down to the playoff picture, which starts, I think, within the next 10 days. So we'll be right back with more on the Expressway after these messages.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Back here with the Expressway. We just got finished talking about the Jets and Giants offseason news. Now we're going to take a look at the free agents that the Giants just signed. We just got finished talking about all the weapons that that the Jets have, and I'm excited about some of the weapons the front office were able to put together via trade and free agency for Daniel Jones and solidify the linebacker position that we talked about for ad nauseum, the position that they needed to address, and that was at the linebacker position. I think it's an opportunity for the Giants to continue to improve, to continue to get better, and really, you know, make it a total team operation where, you know, offense, defense, and special teams working together. I'm still not happy. They signed the punter. I'm not a fan of the punter. I don't like the punter. I don't like the way he kicks.
What? Oh, the punter they have.
Okay. Yeah, the punter. And they re-signed him to a new deal. And I despise him. And just because every time I see him, he's shanking the ball. I don't see him getting it inside the 10-yard line. So every time I see him, he's just so frustrated. But they signed him. So they must see him. I trust Thomas McGahee because that's my guy. He must show something that I don't see, I'm not a fan. But our first guy that I want to talk about is Darren Waller. This dude made a name for himself on the HBO special, the training camp special. And you know, remember how John Gruden was talking about, you got to watch this kid Waller. He's a great receiver. He's a possession type receiver. He's tall. He can take the top off of it, and he's faster and quicker than any of the linebackers that would be covering him. So he was the Giant Nation was excited when they picked this guy up. I think he was a steal.
Not even a question. I've watched him ever since he's at University of Florida because he could be a power forward in basketball. He's 6'5", over 250 pounds, and runs like a deer. He could play wide receiver. He's that good. If what I'm anxious to see, though, Charles, is that the Giants have shown me already that they wait to see what they have before they put the plays in so that the player will fit it. How are they going to fit Darren Waller in it? Because he can do everything. That's your creativity as an offensive coordinator, being able to put him in position, get the outside receivers doing stuff, get him inside down the middle. I watched him catch passes down the middle for the Raiders. If he improves at all, he will be in the top couple wide receivers in the NFL. And because he's going to be playing in New York, he's probably going to get more publicity. He is a specimen, and I think this is the best pickup thus far of the year for the Giants because he is a threat. Anytime you have a threat that makes a defensive back have to worry about getting beat deep or the safety, then you have the advantage. So I'm anxious to see how the Giants create situations for him to be successful.
Absolutely. And I know he had a lot of injuries last year, but I think David Carr went away from him because if you saw 2 years ago, that's all he looked for. I mean, it was David Carr's go-to receiver. And when last year, probably because of injury, probably because of scheme, I don't know, he just wasn't as impactful, or David wasn't looking for him as much, right? And so, Derek wasn't looking for him as much. So for me, last year isn't a sample size of who he is as a receiver. I think the year before, when he was healthy and and it was Carr's main go-to piece. I think they were a combination that couldn't be stopped.
Well, I think that he missed so many games because he was injured. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that I've talked about probably most of my career, is the quarterback is the one who leads the receivers into the safety. I call it a hospital ball. Yes. If you have the safeties on both sides, you need to be right in the middle. If you throw the ball toward the other safety, he gets a beat on you, and he can probably, you know, use whatever he has to kind of knock the ball loose. Mm-hmm. So I think David Carr did that a couple of times with him. I watched him. You know, he assumed, because he's a great receiver, he can get the 50-50 ball, which means you're throwing it up for grabs. And that's how he got hurt. I think that the quarterback, especially Danny Jones in this situation, has got to make sure he's accurate with the ball and don't put him in a position where he can get hurt. I call it a hospital ball. I did that a long time ago. And it is the truth, because the quarterback can lead you anywhere he wants. Sometimes he throws a little bit behind you because he sees somebody on the other side of you that may get the lead on. So I think it's going to depend on Danny Jones making sure he's accurate to get the ball to Darren Waller.
I mean, Daniel Jones has probably one of the best weapons he's ever had while he's been with the Giants, because now he has that Plaxico Burress. He has that Amani Toomer that Eli Manning had. So he has a receiver that, hey, I'm going to close my eyes and throw it up, and I know he has a chance of getting it, because that's what Eli used to do. When he would just – remember, he would just throw the ball and turn it back. And like, I'm going to get it. Ow! I'm going to get it, you know, screaming. Like, oh, please don't hurt me. Just – And so at least Daniel Jones now has somebody that he can count on, that when he throws it up at one of those Hail Mary balls, which he did a better job last year of not throwing.
Yeah.
But now he has a receiver that can at least go get it and make him look good if he does decide to throw a Hail Mary ball. Our next guy is somebody that they addressed during free agency, and that's Okereke from the Indianapolis Colts. They got a free agent linebacker. I love this pickup. He's quick. He can cover tight ends now, because as we talked about Darren Waller, the tight end position has become a receiver position, a glorified receiver position. And we don't have linebackers that can do a good job of stopping the run and also can cover the tight end out the back off the line of scrimmage. And so I think they shored up two things with this one guy, and I'm excited to have him on the team.
Oh, absolutely. I was watching the highlights that you sent me, Charles. And what I like is he's sideline to sideline. And think about it, if you have a linebacker that can cover both ends and still get back for the pass, I think that even we talked about Darren Waller, those two in practice are going to make each other better. That's the right. Competitive edge the Giants have now, being able to make people compete in practice because they're getting better players all the time, this is going to do nothing but help the Giants get better. I like him as a linebacker because he's always around the ball. He's got good quickness, good speed. He can read well. What's really incredible is that when a linebacker steps up into the hole, he's got to make sure he makes the right read, because otherwise you won't get out to the sidelines because of all the influx in the middle of the line. So he does a good job of warding off blockers, using his quickness and speed. And I think he's got some meanness and some nastiness in him. And I think that's what you want for the Giants or any team that lands him. But I think the Giants, he would be perfect fit for the Giants, because I think he can make other people better.
Yeah, no, I mean, if the Giants didn't address this position, I would have given him a failing grade.
Absolutely.
In the whole offseason, because they needed a veteran presence, someone that could actually be a stabilizing force in that secondary. Because A, you're losing Julian Love. I wasn't crazy about Julian Love, but at least you're losing a safety that was calling, that was the main play caller. He had the green dot on his helmet. And so now hopefully they can put it back on the linebacker position by putting it on Okereke, because he was a leader for the Indianapolis Colts. And from what I'm hearing, he could be like that Antonio Pierce.
Yep.
Signing that the Giants had before they went to the Super Bowl those two times.
See, I think this is the best I've seen in probably 7-8 years, you know, but since the last time the Giants went to the playoffs, which is 2016, this is the best, I think, situation they've had, because I really feel with Jim Shane, the general manager, and working together with the head coach, they're addressing every position that's in need. Sometimes they say, well, you draft, best athlete, but they're putting together needs, And I think that's exactly what you want from the Giants. If they improve anyway, which they've already improved since last year, it's going to be a fun season because I see the Eagles have lost people through free agency. I'm trying to figure how bad that's going to hurt them. The Cowboys have somebody put the New Orleans voodoo on them, which I like, because Jerry Jones said, and I'm going to just quote what he said, anybody can coach a football team, is what he said. And the thing about when he said that, I knew, and I've known a long time, Charles, there are a lot of bad coaches out there, coaches that don't know what they're doing. I don't know if Barry Switzer, the former Oklahoma coach who came in for Jimmy Johnson and won a Super Bowl, I don't know if he was that good a coach. He had great talent. Yeah. And he's always had talent in Oklahoma. When he came to the Cowboys that one time to take Jimmy Johnson's place, he's using the talent that Jimmy Johnson had brought him. So I just think Jerry Jones has put his foot in his mouth too much. And every year I look for him to get out of the playoffs. They may have the best record in the NFC, but they don't know what to do in the playoffs.
That's why I'm not worried. And that's why I'm glad Sean Payton didn't go there. Because if he would have went there, he may have been able to straighten out that situation. But yes. I don't know if Sean wanted to even have the take the time to deal with Jerry Jones and manage the headache that he would have gotten in order to straighten that ship out. So honestly, I don't think that Dallas will be a Super Bowl contender anytime soon as long as Jerry Jones is running the team. And that's okay with me as a Giant fan. So I'm excited and I'm happy. Keep Dallas dysfunctional.
But see, what got to me, though, is when Bill Parcells went to the Cowboys, because I was at Texas Tech with Bill Parcells for 3 years, Romeo Crennel for 3 years, and I you know, and then they came to the Giants when I was there, and then I watched Parcells, you know, go all these different jobs, change it. I don't know why he tried to get back with the Giants, because I was on the radio at that time, and some guy called me and said, "Can you ask George Young, who was a general manager at that time, can Bill Parcells come back?" And I don't want to tell you who asked me, because I don't want to, you know, give that away. But and then Bill Parcells went to the Cowboys, and I almost had a lump in my heart because Bill Parcells is, you know, he's a good guy. And then I found out why he left is because Jerry Jones started meddling, and Jerry Jones wants to act like he's a coach, and you can't do that. And I think Bill Parcells made that line about you go shop for the groceries and then you can't do anything about it, or something like that. And I think that that Jerry Jones has got the whammy from New Orleans, and I really, you know, I like the way things are going for the Cowboys.
Okay, and the last position that they just signed, the receiver Jamison Crowder. We can touch on him real quick before we go on a break. But this guy is that possession type of receiver. They got a lot of possession receivers, the Giants do, but I love Jamison Crowder because he used to give us headaches, especially when he was with the Redskins. This dude would always come up with that big play catch that would extend the drive. And I think this is a good pickup to add the depth that the receiving corps need, especially since a lot of the guys that they're counting on are coming back from injury.
Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back with more on the Expressway after these messages.
And we're back here with the Expressway. We've just gotten through two quarters, and we've talked all about the Giants and Jets and their free agent pickup this offseason. Now we're going to talk about what everybody is talking about in the world of sports today, is what taunting or sportsmanship or a little bit of everything, you know, because you look at the LSU game, but first, 10 million viewers.
Breaking news. And this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
The most watched women's NCAA game
ever.
And I think, you know, ESPN, the media, and WNBA, they're doing an amazing job of promoting women's basketball. And it's a much better product now. Maybe it's because of the way they're promoting it. But I think the athletes are changing. The girls are outstanding to watch. And it was an amazing game. But the drama of it, I'm going to set it up for you. So the 2 days prior, Iowa beat South Carolina, yep. right? And you know the controversy about South Carolina because they're big and they play tough and they beat you up playing basketball. And so when Iowa won, Caitlin Clark was kind of taunting the whole Carolina team after the game, but no one saw that. No one said anything. And look, I can't fault people for taking offense to the taunting gesture by LSU because they didn't know the background. You got 10 million views. If I'm NCAA or the WNBA seeing that, I'm just happy. Hey, I'm getting more eyes on my game, and that's what I want. And if the controversy helps more eyes come to the game, I love it. Because you know, that's why everybody watched Deion Sanders, because they wanted to see what primetime was going to do to show out. And so what do you think about this controversy?
Well, before I talk about that, I have been humbled many times on women's basketball. Because when I first started watching women when I was younger, they weren't that good. They couldn't use their left hand. A lot of little things they can do. Flashback 20 years later, Cheryl Swoops, who was a MVP for the NCAA tournament, she went to Texas Tech, where I went, and they led the Texas Tech Rangers to the NCAA tournament. I thought because, I'm a man that I would go beat her. So I went down to Texas Tech, myself and Cheryl Swoops played one-on-one. She faked me out of my jock. She hit too many laws and then took it to the hole, and she embarrassed me. And that humbled me. So I would never, ever say that women aren't good in basketball. That game showed me, and this whole season showed me, the talent of women. I mean, and the thing about it, and I don't know how I sound when I sound this, but women are better at taking directions than men. You tell a woman what to do, and you tell a man what to do, and see who does it correctly. Because the women are fundamentally sound in basketball. They do the pick and roll very good. And I was utterly impressed with Caitlin Clark. I mean, because she had handles. She was cool as a cucumber. But then when she kind of did that thing against South Carolina, I kind of, wrinkled my forehead. But then they played LSU. And the thing about it is they weren't in the game at all, really, if you think about it. LSU had the whole game. But then the girl Reese, Angel Reese, she went a little beyond what I thought she should have did, because she put her hand up with a ring on it, just like the guy from the LA Raiders did, LA Rams did. And I said, she got that from television. Got that from watching NFL football. And see, the thing that makes me mad is that people say that Reese was worse than Caitlin. But if you think about it, Caitlin, she's a stone cold, she's one of those people who will kill you and beat you to death. If you're up by 20, she tried to make it 40. So I was impressed. I believe in women's basketball. WNBA is coming up. And I think because of the situation with Brittany Griner, is it Griner or Griner?
Griner.
Griner. I think that you're going to see more women making more money. Because the average salary in the WNBA is $300,000. Average salary in the NBA is $10 million. That's right. But the NBA supports the WNBA. But that game, LSU, it was not even a game. And I thought that's what really showed me about taunting and unsportsmanlike contact. But somebody told me the other day, Charles, that everybody talks trash in sports. Mm-hmm. But I never did, because I was a running back and I didn't want to give a guy another incentive to want to come get me, because you're already going to come get me anyway because I got the ball. If you come get me with some more vigor and it was hate inside me because I've been talking trash, y'all might be out for the season.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I think for the women's game as a whole, the way the salaries start going up is you bring more attention to the game, and having 10 million viewers for a women's basketball game, albeit a championship game, is amazing for the sport. And so if I'm the WNBA, I'm like, this is great, because yep. now you're bringing even the controversy that they've created around this is great for the game, because now people want to see what's going on. That's what adds eyes and viewership, because now it's more than the game. It's the one-on-one battle. So when Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese get together, they want to see what's going to happen. I'm like, this is like, get my popcorn and candy, because I'm ready to go. I want to see what's going to happen. And so when you can bring the drama that the NBA brings to the game, I think it only makes the WNBA game better. I.e., let's take a look at the Patrick Beverley of all taunters. This man is the smallest dude on the basketball court, and is not in the same category or class as 55 or 60% of the NBA players. And this dude talks the most smack out of anybody. We got, I can't wait to show these two clips. We got two clips of these two, of this dude, A, showing Russell Westbrook he is terrible, he stinks, and then telling LeBron James, the greatest player of all time, arguably, that he's too small. So this one clip right here is a whole deal about Russell Westbrook, right? And so Pat is saying this dude is too small, he can't play, he stinks, because he couldn't, you know, he was having to look at him. he stinks. You see what I'm saying? Just putting his nose up. And this is the rest. And Russell Westbrook is probably, he's a Hall of Famer. He may not be playing like one, but he's a Hall of Famer. But look at Pat just going right at him. I love it.
And everybody would need a Patrick Beverley on their team. If he's not on your team, you hate him. I can't stand him. He's a little gnat rat. but see, the reason I get surprised at him is because it doesn't matter who it is, he'll talk trash to him. LeBron James, Westbrook, anybody. And those guys are five times better than him. And so the thing about it, you got to have a lot of nerve to talk trash and then get beat because you get humbled like that. And I think Patrick
Beverley. Look at him. He tell LeBron he's too small. Come on now.
LeBron's 6'9", and he might be 6'1" at the most.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, it's like he's having fun. But high schooler, college players, as we saw how Angel was doing the ring thing, they look up to the professional athletes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And so what professional athletes do, they do. Think about everything that goes on in college or even Little League. I was at an AAU basketball game for 8 and under. I saw a kid put up three to the dome. 8-year-old kid doing this when he shot a 3-pointer. I'm like, are you kidding me? 8 years old, hitting three to the dome. I'm like, where are you getting this from? And everybody doing the arrow when they shoot a 3-pointer. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And the thing that kills me, and you're exactly right, and I don't know how to deal with it because I do sportsmanship seminars in Long Island, and we talk about what's a bad sport and a good sport. The ESPN does the top 10 highlights every day. Probably 8 out of 10 are bad sportsmanship. They show a guy hitting a home run, he flips his back. This is bad. And they say that's cool, but that's bad sportsmanship. This time they say a guy dunking the basketball, then he's pointing at the guy, staring him down, making him feel embarrassed. And they say that's okay for TV. But if you think about it from a little kid's standpoint, that is bad sportsmanship. So I don't know how to get around that because they do exactly what the pros do in every single sport. If they act crazy, then they act crazy. So I'm same thing with LSU and Iowa. They got that stuff from watching other sports and teams like that. So it's something that we're going to keep on our list to talk about because trash talking, people say, is part of the game.
And another thing I want to bring up about the women's game that Dawn Staley addressed in her press conference after their loss to Iowa is the fact that when certain groups of individuals on a basketball get labeled as because they look a certain way and they play a certain way, people will make offhanded comments saying, okay, they play a tough game because of where they come from. Is that something that people should start taking notice of and being aware of how they are projecting a certain type of team or player?
Well, the thing about it, the world is getting crazy. I think the world is becoming more ruder. People think they can say anything to anybody else. People are more racial than I've ever seen in my whole life. And that might be because of different things that have happened in the world. But see, they got to address it because, it might lead to an all-out brawl sometime because, you can get under somebody's skin. And that's when your coolness comes in because someone says something to you. And I got to say this real quick. I went to the World Cup in 2006 and as a player for the Italian team. It was like in the last minute of the game and they were going to the win. It was tied. The guy talked about his mother and he headbutted him. He got kicked out of the game. And I'm trying to think, what would you do in America in a championship game to get kicked out of a game? That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. And we're going to stay on topics like this for the rest of the time we are on the air, but this is some good stuff. And we're always going to bring you the most important things happening in the sports and in this segment, the third quarter. But you're listening to The Expressway with the BT Express, Billy Toe, and Charles Show Me the Way. We will be right back in a moment. Expressway. I'm your co-host, Charles Show Me the Way, with the BT Express, Billy Keller. And now this is one of our most favorite segments, or exciting segments, and that's the NBA playoffs. And we are taking a look at the NBA playoff picture brought to us by the NBA.com. And as you can see, the West is wild. I mean, a game separates fifth seed to the ninth seed. And so every game matters. These last four games that a lot of these teams have are important. And so what if you're like Golden State, right? Do you win, lose? Do you want to avoid the Phoenix Suns because KG is back, right? Kevin Durant is back. So now you got a debate going on, is do I really want to win? Do I really want to move up a certain seed because I would rather play Denver as opposed to Phoenix, or I would rather play Sacramento as opposed to Phoenix? So maybe I do want to play in a play-in game because I know I can win. And at 7-8, I get Sacramento or I get Denver, as opposed to if I get to the 5 or 6 seed, I got to play Phoenix, right? What does the game come to? You're trying to lose games to get the best player in the NBA draft. Now you're trying to lose games not to avoid to play one of the best teams in the NBA.
Well, see, I love NBA action. It's fantastic. But I think that the Phoenix Suns, with the addition of Kevin Durant, they've won 6 in a row, and they're undefeated since he's been on the team.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
They are the team to beat in my mind. I don't think Denver, even though they're in first place and they have the best record in the NBA, I don't think that they can last, because I see the Lakers coming on. I watched LeBron the other day. He looked great, Anthony Davis. They're playing the Clippers pretty soon, and who's going to be fifth or sixth or somewhere in there. I think, you know, in the NBA, if momentum comes with winning, and I think the more you win, the better your team is coming together. So whatever, you don't want a team like Golden State. I guess they could do it because they're the defending champions, but you don't want them to lose a game on purpose. But, you know, because a lot of people do that kind of stuff because of the money, the draft picks and stuff. And I love the play-in situation the NBA has created, but it gives the first 6 teams, I think, a week off. At the end of the season, you can come out fresh as daisies. So I like the way the NBA is doing things, but the Kings are my surprise this year. The Phoenix Suns are my surprise this year, and the Denver Nuggets are my surprise this year. So I don't really know who's going to win it, but I think that's great for fanfare. And we got an NBA action that's going to go down into late June.
Yeah, I think some of the teams in the West that are exciting, that not too many teams are talking about, and it are the New Orleans Pelicans. I think I don't know if Zion Williamson is ever going to come back for the playoffs or ever come back at all. But if he were to come back for the playoffs, they would be a very scary
absolutely
team. You know, you got Ingram, the kid Ingram. You got the guard.
Ingram is that, good, yeah.
Yeah, and you got Ingram, and then you got the kid, the guard that came from Portland.
Yep.
Out there. So they got a very explosive team. And so I would be, if I was scared, if I had to be scared of a team, I'm less scared of Sacramento because I still don't think they're ready. They're still young. Mike Brown has done a great job with that team.
Yes, he has.
And has got them playing at a tremendous level. First time in what, 16 years that they've been to the playoffs since the Chris Webber era.
Yep.
They've been to the playoffs. So when you look at, teams that that's from the five seed on down, New Orleans Pelicans is probably the team that I don't want to play at all.
Yep.
At all. Outside of the Phoenix Suns, I don't want to play New Orleans because they could come up and beat you. And I think the games from, if you're looking at the first round of the playoffs, I think the West will have the more intriguing games as opposed to the East, because once you get past Philly, then it's really Cleveland and the Knicks, right? And that should be a good series, Cleveland and the Knicks. I don't know about the other series on the East.
Yeah, and I think unquestionably the West has the better talent, but the East has come up. I mean, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Boston, they really are playing as good as anybody. And the thing about it is that your guy, your center from Philadelphia, who reminds me of
Is it over? Can we do one of the Vince Carter? Is he the MVP? Can we do like it's over? Shut it down. Cut it. It's over.
MVP.
Is he the MVP, right?
I got to give it to him.
Okay.
I kind of hate you.
Like that.
But I can't be prejudiced because of Philadelphia. You have to give him the credit is due. He has played great all season. The other day he hit 50 something, I think. And I just think that he's not falling down as much as he used to. And I wonder how he improved that way. With him as James Harden, that's a 1-2 combination that is going to be tough. So I'm anxious to see how Doc Rivers handles it as they come down the stretch.
You know, one of the intriguing stories that's out there is, you know, Nick Nurse may be leaving Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's probably going to be the hottest coaching candidate out there.
Yep.
And a good storyline, let's put this rumor out there, that if Philly can't make it out the second round this year, do they get rid of Doc and do they hire Nick Nurse?
Well, the thing about it, I've known Doc Rivers for a long time. Used to have him on the radio and stuff. I think he's a great coach, but his in-game work, sometimes I have to question, because you had a combination like James Harden and the center for the Philadelphia 76ers. You're supposed to work that to death. And I can't believe they even lose a game because they're so talented. So it's got to be coaching, because you got the right talent. You got the right big man. You got the right point guard. Then what's left? So I just think that if he doesn't win this year, I think he's got to be up there on the possibility of losing his job.
But you're the one that told me your family is in Houston.
Yep.
That man, come on now, James Harden. I don't know what happens in the playoffs, but the most important games, the man disappears, right? So, and you said it to me a few times.
It's
right?
True.
So in order for, you know what, Philly has a great team. Now, I don't know if they don't have a great bench. But in order for Philly to get out of the second round and even get to the championship game, they need James to score at least 28, 30 points a game. I think Embiid is ready. He's primed in position. He's serious now.
Yes,
he's more mature. And he's taking the game seriously. He scored 52 on Boston and wasn't playing around. It was like, look, he's finally getting that Kobe the Mamba mindset, right? Where, hey, I'm going to beat you no matter what. I'm not going to take it easy on you. So hopefully this new mindset he has will propel them into a better result this year.
Well, one of the things you said, which I'm thinking of my mind, is James Harden choking in the playoffs on 13 turnovers in one quarter. And you're supposed to be a veteran player who's supposed to bring your team to a higher level of performance. And this has happened probably at least 4 years where he's choked in the playoffs. So he's got a lot to prove when it comes down to it, because the playoffs is where you really make that money, where you show your talent, where people gonna, if people were new to different things, they get to see you. So he's going to have to show me, Charles Wade, that he's a better player. But the good thing, he's got Joel Embiid in there. And if you got a player that is that good, all you need to do is feed him the ball in the right and get him the ball in the right position where he can score and be successful. And if James Harden does that, they're going to advance. But if James Harden goes back to the guy who chokes in the playoffs and looks terrible doing it and looks like he didn't care, which is not true. It's just that I think he was down on himself for doing so badly. So I'm anxious to see what happens. If he does well, Charles, that's the key to your team, the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Knicks is going to be a hard out too, because they've been balling. I don't know if Brunson is going to be back or not. I know Randall is dealing with injury. But if they got their full complement of teams, that's a scary team. They, at least you're going to be beat up going into your second round if you get past them.
Well, I'm really proud of the Knicks, because I thought after last year when they didn't do as well, the year before they were the fourth place team and they went to the, and lost to Atlanta. So I'm anxious to see what they do this year, because they got experience. The guys know what they're doing. They know the guys around them. I think Brunson has been a gigantic pickup. I don't understand why they didn't get a point guard before to dish it out to people. I think he's underrated. He should have been on the All-Star team. And I think even with Randall being out, I think he's going to have time to come back, because if they stay in that 4-5 position, they're going to get a few days off.
Right. No.
He's already resting it, doing ice and stuff like that. And I think that that's going to allow him to come back stronger. They got a team that's going to be fun to watch, because they're not going to give ground to anybody. They're playing a good basketball. They're shooting the ball better. Point guard is orientating things. So I just think I'm happy about the Knicks. But the other team that I can't understand is the Heat, because they went to the championship a couple of years ago against the LA Lakers and lost. And then they're supposed to have all this great players. And they're probably 1, 2, 3, 4, probably the sixth or seventh team in the NBA. And I thought they'd be one or two.
Yeah, I think they just got old. I mean, look at Jimmy Butler. He's 37 years. He's like 36, 37 years old. The man, and he's had to be the guy on that team. A lot of the stars aren't actually Hero isn't doing what he's supposed to do. A lot of their sharpshooters aren't performing the way they're supposed to do. And Bam Adebayo is an adequate center. I don't know if he's an all-star center, but he's a good center.
Yeah, he's a good center.
So you only really have one superstar on that team, and that's Jimmy Butler. And you got a bunch of sidekicks. And so it's going to be hard for them to get out of the first round, depending on who they play. And they're right on the edge. They're one game behind Brooklyn for the sixth seed. That's a team that could at least win a couple of games in the first round. I don't know if they have the talent to make it through the first round, but they have the talent to win a game or two in the first round. So I think if I was Milwaukee, Milwaukee, Boston, or Philly, I would probably want to play Miami, because I even though I know I'm gonna get beat up, at least I'll have an opportunity to make it through that series without playing too many games. The thing I worry about Brooklyn is they got enough talent where they'll shoot well enough where they'll beat you just because they can't miss.
Well, I've been impressed with Brooklyn since they lost Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and James Harden. The coach has really done a good job. He really has. I got to give him credit to keep the Nets, and they're about in fifth or sixth place now. And they have a chance to do something. I just don't know if they got the big main squeeze to be able to get through when you're playing either Philadelphia, Boston, or Milwaukee. But I think that, you know, the thing about it, and it's really a shame for me to even say it, but if Kevin Durant and Kyrie and James Harden had stayed there, I think they would have been better off. They'd have a better chance coming out of the East. But now I don't see the Nets coming out of the East at all because of a lack of a big man, so to speak.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's going to be exciting. Sunday is the last game of the season for everybody. So, and the NBA does a great job of giving the teams that deserve a week off, give them a week off. The teams that are playing that play-in game adds a little extra drama to the NBA season. So I'm excited and can't wait to see it.
Before we get out of here, Charles, they were talking about the NBA doing a tournament halfway through the season where the winning team gets $500,000 apiece. And I was thinking, well, would that mess up the game or will that help the game?
I'm like, who cares? Because this is, I mean, first of all, the era of load management, you may have teams not even wanting to play in a tournament. Like, why would I want to hurt a Joel Embiid who already has injury issues? Why would you want him to play another game in which he could potentially hurt himself and not be available for the rest of the season and damage your chances at winning a championship? So I don't see the reason behind an in-season tournament, but they believe that it may catch on. I just don't see it. They were having a debate on the radio. I was listening to the radio. They were having a debate. Do you want your team raising a tournament banner as opposed to a championship, an in-season tournament banner as opposed to a championship banner?
Well, one more thing before we get out of here. They talked about LSU going to the White House to be congratulated by the president. But then someone said, Iowa should go too. And I said, that's just like when you give a championship thing to every kid on the team. You didn't play, you didn't contribute, but you get a trophy. So yeah. That's why I had a problem with that.
No, Jill Biden backtracked. Her press secretary backtracked on that and said it was a misunderstanding. But it was all about the women's basketball game and her excitement that people are starting to take notice and hopefully kind of boost them up to get them the viewership.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Expressway with Charles Way and Billy Taylor. We're on each and every week talking about the world of sports. We try to hit all the main subjects. So we'll see you again next week. I got to thank Ben for always making us look good back in the studio and taking care of us. For Charles Way, I'm Billy Taylor. Have a nice evening.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.